What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I am your host. And today, I am talking through the idea of parental habits for every new year. Now, some of you, as you're watching this or listening to this, you are listening to this exactly whenever this episode will drop, which is about the turn of the new year between 2025 and 2026. But I want you to know that every year, I encourage you as a parent to get into certain habits, and those habits will actually tease their way out into the way that you parent. Today's episode and in our next episode, I want to help tease out the idea of godly goals for your kids and every year sitting down and reevaluating your parenting plan, or what I have called your plan of discipleship, many times on Transformed. So before we jump in, I want to remind you to subscribe and join the Transform movement. Now, some of you are watching this, you're listening to this, and you haven't subscribed yet. Hit the subscribe button. What it allows us to do is to actually get Transform and Fortis Plus out into more and more hands. So if you have a second, do that. If you have a second, throw up a review for us on Apple or on Spotify. Those are the two main platforms, and I would be ever so appreciative. All right. Every new year, I want you to know, and this is not, I'm not making this up, I'm not trying to impress you guys, but every new year, I actually sit down and I review my parenting plans for each of my kids. Now, I have three kids as I'm filming this, and next year, I intend on having three as well, although one keeps messing with me, and you better get out of my face, and you know who you are. Sorry, wait, hang on, where am I? Snap out of it. I do have teenagers, which means that I have a 15 and a half year old, and then I have an 11 year old, soon to be 12 year old, and then we have our youngest son who is 4. That means practically that every year I sit down and I look through our plan for each of these young men and what we're hoping God will do in their life over the next year, year and some change. Now, I know that you may not be the planning type. See, I'm actually one of those nerds that loves to buy a journal. You know, I buy it and I start writing in it. I'm like, oh yeah, now I need a new pen. Oh yeah, new pen. Yeah, that's great. Now I need some label makers. Oh yeah. I don't know why. I've just been born that way. I love to plan. As far as I can remember back, I would have journals, pens, planning, organizing. And I know some of you are not like that. So I want to be very respectful of those that have different giftedness. This is not about shaming you in the new year, but about inspiring you. And mainly, if you're a dude watching this who has children, that makes you a father, by the way, then I would really love to speak to you. So wives, I'm obviously including you. You are such an important part of our family units. But gentlemen, I would love for you to take initiative in developing a plan of discipleship. Now, you may be wondering, hey, Dr. G, I've never actually heard you use that term plan of discipleship before. What do you mean? Well, I do not mean the band from the early 2000s, POD, although they were very good. We are. You guys remember them? The Youth of a Nation. I thought they were Christian at the time. Honestly, I don't know if they are or not. What I mean is a plan of discipleship where you are planning for your kids to grow in Christlikeness. You're actually making steps based off of God's word in order to help your kids. You do remember this. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as phylacteries between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Remember that this is what was told to the children of Israel as they're preparing to enter into the promised land. Do not forget the law of Moses. Parents, yes, us, we have a special responsibility to disciple our kids. And some of us actually treat that like the squeaky wheel. Here's what squeaky wheel parenting is. You wait until you actually have a problem with your child, and then you deal with the problem. So it's like putting out fires instead of installing a sprinkler system, or instead of actually working on fire safety and not starting fires in the first place. That's the way some of us parent. It's like we just wait until there's a squeaky wheel, then there's a problem, then we address it, and then boom, we keep moving. And our kids keep getting older, and they move to the next year, and boom, and boom, and boom. But we've never actually sat down and said, what am I called to be teaching my kids? And where are they going? And how am I planning for that? That is what I'm calling a plan of discipleship. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, I'm reading from the Legacy Standard Edition. Would you go to Ephesians chapter 6? I want you to see what Ephesians 6 has to say. Look at the way that fathers are addressed here. So children, obey your parents. That's very clear. Obedience is required of kids. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Have you ever thought about it this way, that you as the dad can actually provoke your child by not raising them in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord? Colossians, which is a sister book to Ephesians, does make it clear that you're not to be harsh with your kids and you're not to be harsh with your wife, dads. We know that that's like inescapable in the scripture, that men are never allowed or encouraged to be harsh. In fact, a harsh man, as I'll get to more here in a second, a harsh man is most likely a passive dad. So he just uses his anger to manipulate and control the situation instead of being a proactive discipler. Here, discipline and instruct. You as a father have a special responsibility to discipline and instruct. Now you could say, well, I do. When my kids have problems, I just sit them down and I instruct them. It's like, no, that's not actually teaching them the things of God. You're not doing Deuteronomy 6. You're just simply disciplining, but you're not actually setting straight or admonishing or equipping them with the skills that they need to honor the Lord and to be faithful in this life. So you have a very reactionary perspective of parenting. Ephesians 6, yes, discipline is necessary and setting straight is necessary, but you're also teaching them how to honor the Lord. You're equipping them with the skills that they need to be pleasing to the Lord. And how do you do that if you're not planning for it? That's the real question. Or how do you do that if you don't know what direction you're actually moving? Or how do you do that if you're doing the same thing with your 13-year-old that you're doing with your 3-year-old? I would argue that you're not being you're not being ungodly, but you're not being as helpful. You're not being as productive. You're not being as faithful as you could be. Whereas when you just simply take a second and say, you know what, my 13-year-old is very different from my 3-year-old, and the plans that I have for them this year are very different from what I have for my 3-year-old. Then we can say, how do I develop a plan that matches each of my kids and helps them to be faithful? So why do we want to develop a plan of discipleship for our kids? Because it helps us to positively invest into our kids instead of reacting to the negative all the time. Many of us are like, we're just chasing our tails, we're just putting out the fires, but we're not actually investing into our kids and helping them grow character and proactively investing in them. So we're just saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But the reality is that they're not actually doing something that's constructive and honoring to the Lord. So that's the first reason. Number two, and this is going to be, this is probably no surprise to you. It syncs up your marriage on the consequences and the blessings that correspond to your kids being obedient. All right, inevitably, one of you as a parent, you are the scorched earth parent. So your kid sneezes at dinner and doesn't eat their veggies. It's like, never will you eat again. It's like, that's my flamethrower. Some of you are like that. It's like one small thing happens and then you're grounded for 2 years. And honestly, that is very frustrating for a kid because they don't know which parent they're getting. Is it Mr. Jackal? Is it Mr. Hyde? I forget the names. Is that correct? Is it Jackal and Hyde? I don't know if they're both misters, but you know what I'm talking about. It's like, is this nice mom today or is this mean mom today? Well, if you don't have a plan for consequences, then one parent's going to do one thing and another parent's going to do another thing, and it's totally frustrating. There's one person that will make every big issue a small issue, and then there is another person that will make every small issue a big issue. And you're having to say, wait, we want to ensure that we're being faithful in our discipline, and we as a couple are synced up on what that looks like. I don't always want to be the bad guy, in all honesty. And if my wife gets to be the good lady, I almost said good guy. Boy, that got weird. If my wife gets to be the good parent, there we go, then that makes it hard for me because I don't always want to be the disciplinarian. I just want to get to enjoy my kids. And I'm sure you feel the same way. So how do we do that practically? We have to have a plan. So what does the plan help us do? Sync up in our marriage. So first thing, helps us positively invest instead of reacting. It helps us to sync up. Then we are able to disciple toward Christ-like character. Okay, hear me out on this one. Christ-like character is part of what we can do. And even if your children never accept Christ, and I'll have more to explain on that here in a second, we can at least help cultivate character in them, that they're at least a moral person. They're a law-abiding citizen. And I would love that all of our children love Jesus because their heart has been changed as participants in the new covenant. I would love that, but I know that that's not true for everybody. So what does that practically mean? That we are pursuing character with our kids. That's number three. And then number four is going to be that we're helping teach them skills that are relevant to their life. So skills like personal skills or professional skills, social skills, that they're learning how to operate in a 11-year-old body, in a 15-year-old body, in a 4-year-old body in the year that God has placed them. So overall, what's this plan about? Well, we're not trying to be hypochondriacs for Jesus, but we also don't want to be passive people for Jesus. We want to positively engage. We want to sync up in our marriages. We want to disciple towards Christ-like character, and we want to develop skills. So let's take a short break. When we come back, I will address what prevents us from developing these types of plans. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. Something really cool that I want to share with you before we get back to Dr. Gifford. Did you know 2025's Biblical Counseling Book of the Year was written by none other than Dr. Gifford himself? That's right. Lies My Therapist Told Me, Why Christians Should Aim for More Than Just Treating Symptoms, has been named the Biblical Counseling Book of the Year as selected by biblical counselors from the Association of Biblical Counselors. This book is a huge deal, and it's garnered Greg attention from the Daily Wire and other mainstream media outlets. And the attention that Greg has brought to this is only going to grow in the coming year. You can find a link to purchase Lies My Therapist Told Me right now at FortisInstitute.org. And I also want to point you in the direction of FortisPlus.org. That's where you can find all of the content that we create, and we create a whole lot of content. If you haven't checked out Fortis Plus just yet, you are missing out. Right now, there are hundreds of hours of audio and video content available for you to consume free of charge, and we're adding to it every single day. That's right. It's not just static content that we've compiled and put together for you to listen through or watch through one time and that be it. No, we're adding to it daily. And again, it's absolutely free of charge. It doesn't cost you anything because we believe that it is essential to get the truth of God's word into the hands of as many people into the church as absolutely possible. So you can download Fortis Plus right now to see exactly what it is that I'm talking about by going to the App Store on your smartphone, your smart TV, or again, simply go to FortisPlus.org. And the reason that all of our content is absolutely free of charge is because of our gospel partners. Your gospel partnership and support of our ministry is what helps us reach more people in more places all over the world with the truth of God's word. You can find out more about what it would look like in your life to join us at FortisInstitute.org. And now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back, Jimmy. Thank you, sir, for your resources. You are the man, and it's a joy to work with you. Jimmy is my Fortis best friend. Don't tell Todd. All right, what have we been talking about? Plan of discipleship, parenting plan, whatever you want to call it the way that you are proactively discipling each of your kids. That's what we're calling it. And the way that you disciple your 16-year-old, I hope, is different from the way that you disciple your 8-year-old. And the way that you disciple your adult child living at home, I hope, is different from the way that you would disciple a 3-year-old. So this is your parenting plan. And why do we do it? Because we want to help cultivate Christ-likeness in our kids. We want to address the positive and invest in Christ-like character, not just be putting out fires. We want our marriages to be synced up, and we want to help equip our kids with skills that they need to be successful as adults. So what prevents us from developing discipleship plans? Well, this is sad, but gentlemen, as you're listening to this, we recognize that passivity is a result of the fall. Go read Genesis chapter 3 if you have a second, then put me down. Get your hands off me. Lay me down for a second. Grab your Bible, for those of you that are watching this, and look at Genesis chapter 3. Notice what is said to Adam. All right, he is told here in Genesis chapter 3, cursed is the ground because of you. Why? Verse 17, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you, and pain you will eat of it all the days of your life. Gentlemen, this is not easy for us to say, but a sinful tendency that we have is toward passivity. One of the reasons why parenting plans do not develop is because men are passive. And it stinks, men. We're busy. Honestly, we're tired. Frankly, we just want to zone out. We love sports. We love leisure. I love cars. I love motorcycles. I love lifting weights. And I do not love sitting around developing thoughtful plans all the time. So men, I think if we're just honest, why do we not have these? Because we can be passive. And our passivity, unfortunately, can lead us to be angry, because when our kids get upset, we get loud and we just shut it down. So mom functionally leads us, and we become like a bump on a log or like an angry presence in the home, and that's our way of leading. We also don't have parenting plans and plans of discipleship because our marriages are in shambles, and you would be surprised that the kids that have the worst behavioral issues, and maybe you wouldn't be surprised at this, but the kids that have the worst behavioral issues often come from homes where the parents are fighting. Maybe they're split up or they're splitting up, and you're just thinking, man, there's really no way to help these kids because the parents have to sync up first. And then lastly, why do we not have plans of discipleship? Because our little angel is perfect, and our home is centered around our lovely child. And we can hear the angelic music of them having... It's like, okay, you do not have the only sinless child in all of mankind. You have a child-centered home, and that's why there's no structure. Your child gets whatever they want, and that's why they seem so good, because you never tell them no. So it's just wait till they turn 10, and you have to tell them no. Just wait the way that that teases out. So none of these are good reasons. Now, whether you're going to make a document like I'm going to encourage you to make, or whether you're going to have an unspoken agreement, I'm going to encourage that all of you start to think, okay, it's the turn of the year. Let's sit down and think about our goals for our kids this year. What does that entail? What are your number one goals for your kids? Are you ready for it? You're like, all right, Dr. Gifford, Harvard. Is it going to be Harvard? What is our number one goal? That they would get on the club ball team, and that they would then get a scholarship to a college. Come on. Is that our number one goal? What's our number one goal? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. We have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. What is our number one goal for our kids? That they would be pleasing to the Lord. What is our number one goal this upcoming year? That we would be pleasing to the Lord in the way that we parent our kids. Guys, remember that as a parent, I cannot control the outcome of my kid's life. I am like a farmer who is attempting to be faithful and point them to glorifying Christ, while recognizing that God has to do that work through His Spirit in their heart. And my parenting plan cannot regenerate the heart of my sinful child. I know that, and that's not always easy to believe, but I do know that. And I hope that you know that as well. So our goal, our vision of the good life, is that our kids would love Jesus and follow Him. So we're developing all of our plan around this pursuit of Christ. And of course, we're going to equip them with skills. So if they don't love Jesus, they'll still have them. Yet we know that they need Christ ultimately, and then they need to develop these skills. So let me give you four elements. Okay, four elements. And I'm going to finish this episode by discussing these four elements. And then in our next episode, I'm actually going to give you ideas to include in an age-specific way for each of these elements. Okay, so overall, what are the elements to start with? I'd like you to identify Christ-like character traits that you want your kids to be growing in. Christ-like character traits. So don't just think like, well, I want them to make a lot of money so their old man can retire. No, okay, it's out. Stop, please. We want them to be compassionate. We want them to be merciful. We want them to be hardworking, or we want them to be pure. Each year, I'm going to encourage you to work on how your child needs to grow in pursuing Christ-like character. And the backbone of your plan is pleasing God and then cultivating character traits. Pleasing God, cultivating character traits. So don't just think of your wild child. Many of you, your mind is immediately defaulting to whichever child is the most unruly in your home. It's your youngest, it's your middle child. And you're thinking like, all right, they're crazy. So what do I need? Submission. Yeah, that'd be a great one. Okay, it's like, no, don't just think of the wild child. Think of your quiet child, who needs to work on being more friendly. Inevitably, you have a child that when you're in communication with someone else, you're just conversing, they come up and they stand behind you and they don't look anybody in the eyes. They're like, huh, yes, fine. Or they just ignore other adults. And you're saying, okay, I want you to learn how to put others' interests before your own. And I know you're embarrassed to talk to adults, but we're going to work on the character trait of being friendly. Great. That's what I mean by character traits. So don't just default to like, I need my child to obey me. And don't default to the unruly child. Default to like, how do we want to see Christ formed in them? And I am going to give you roughly like 2 to 3 character traits that I think you can reasonably pursue for a calendar year. I know that may not seem like a lot, but I think that in and of itself is ambitious. Okay, number 1, character traits. Number 2, competencies. We are helping equip our children with age-appropriate skills. So remember, I may not be teaching my 4-year-old at home. It's like, hey, Jet, this is how you hold a shotgun, son. Come here. I may not be teaching him how to shoot a weapon or a shotgun or something like that, but I am going to teach him how to pick up his toys and then take them back to his room. But that's very different from my 15-year-old. And if I were to take my 15-year-old and say, hey, I just want you to pick up your toys and bring them back to your room, it's like, hey, man, that's not really relevant anymore. There's not really toys. That's not a thing that we do here. We're talking about driving and driver's permits and how to get a job and working on those skills as a 15-year-old. So think of age-appropriate skills, helping them learn independence, helping them learn financial literacy, helping them learn technology self-regulation. Oh my goodness. You guys know I've been talking a lot about that on Transform the past couple of episodes. James Parker, digital environment, the tide of technology. We have to disciple our kids in the way that they're using technology, and that's a skill that they learn. Otherwise, they're going to be unfriendly, absorbed into their Roblox world, and then now they're actually lacking certain skills that are going to help them be successful as an adult. Think of work and job skills, where they're learning how to make money and the value of a dollar, and they're picking up dog poop for their neighbors and getting paid to do that. And you're like saying, yeah, that's great. That's something a 10-year-old should be doing. So good for you. And then they're moving into their 16, 17-year-old, and they're getting a job at Starbucks. And we're saying, that's great. That's what a 16 and 17-year-old should be doing. So if you had to think big picture about what are the competencies, we're saying something like professional and personal. Personal is like how to have a conversation, how to look people in the eye. And professional is like we're teaching them work. They're learning from their sports, their grades. So professional and personal. Okay, the last category that I'll give you will be the blessings and the consequences of obedience or the consequences of disobedience. So remember, if they obey, what do you expect of your 8-year-old? Or if they disobey, what do you expect of your 8-year-old? So how can they expect there to be consequences? So first category will be character. Second category will be competencies. I'm holding up 3 fingers. I just realized that. Stay in school, everyone. Second is competencies. And then third will be blessings, and fourth will be consequences. So guys, it's the new year. Let's plan to help our kids glorify God this year. Dads, let's be intentional. So make sure that you tune into this next episode, because we're going to put the nuts and bolts together and we're going to help our kids have a strategy to grow in Christ-likeness. So let me pray for us and let's be proactive in this. Lord, our kids know when we're being passive and we're angry, we're reactionary, we blow up at small things. Help us all, as we turn the corner into a new year, to be intentional with the kids that you've entrusted for us. For most of us, it's a short 18, 20 years, and then they have another 50 years on their own. Lord, help us to be faithful farmers, faithful parents that equip them so that they would glorify you. And we do ask that you draw our kids to yourself and that you would make them effective and fruitful for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.